Wait, what did you do still?
No, that's recording for the audio.
Okay. Right. You got like a minute? Or
1 minute?
No. It's only at a minute. Who is it? Oh, Erica, not you up there by yourself with all the men.
Yo, what's that? So, some of the questions I'm going to be talking about is some of the technology is broken and the lack of communication between generations. And what do you think about some of those areas? You know? All right? Man, I am so happy to have you gentlemen here.
I'm about to say, don't be. I'll hold that over your head for the end of it.
Can you turn down this mic, the green one, just a little bit?
Down this way?
Yeah, just a little bit. Getting feedback. All right, that's better.
Hey, I'm over here. Ooh, I'm doing the stuff. Pass around, make sure you let them know Lexi's back here on this soundtrack. Studio! Let them know I'm not missing out on nothing. It's at 3 minutes, Pass around. Ain't it? No, you are not. You already left. You said like a minute. It's like 57 seconds. No, it ain't a minute just yet. Pastor Rob, make sure you mention I'm back here. Okay, 10 seconds.
Good evening, family. Welcome to Harvest. Table talk discussion today. My name is Pastor Robert Ingram. Welcome back. I've been away for a couple of weeks, and we had Elder Carvella and Pastor Bruce hold the fort down, and we had the ladies, Alexis and Erica, with her. And today, we're going to continue on the topic of the generational gap in communication and respect. Communication and respect, and wow, how can we fix it? What are some of the issues, and how can we fix it? And today, I'm honored. I have some brothers here who I've been looking forward to having be a part of what we're doing here because they got some insight. They achieved some things that many other young men and women would like to achieve, and they're going to share some insight. But I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and I'm going to start to my left. Brother.
Hey, how you doing? My name is James. How y'all doing? My name is Shabazz.
How y'all doing? I'm Jermaine.
All right. So this is our panel today. We have Miss Alexis back there. She's holding the fort down for us in the media booth. And we want to thank you out here. And we ask you, please share your comments and your questions with us on Facebook. And if we don't answer them today, we will try to answer them later on in the week. And so the first thing I want to ask you guys, what do you think is some of the reasons why we have such a lack of communication between the generations as well as respect? Anybody want to tackle that?
The older people don't want to listen, man. It's like we be trying to tell y'all the world we live in right now, how things is completely different from how y'all was living back in the day. And it's just like a lot of older people just don't get it. I would also like to put on there, to me, in some way, y'all kind of get stuck with teaching us the right or wrong way. In some cases, you know, you're like, look, you gotta learn for yourself. So, man, us out here doing something is okay or maybe right, y'all are looking at it like it's a problem. So, hey, come here. Let me show you how to do.
So you feel it's more that we give up and allow you guys to just do what you want to do? Or do you find, and I heard Bob, you said we don't listen, and we caught up in our old ways, and we don't understand that times are different. You know, it's funny you say that, because those are some of the things we used to say to our parents when we first started listening to rap back in the days, and they thought it was something different. But what I found out was that there's nothing new under the sun. You know, it may be different circumstances that y'all facing, that what y'all facing, maybe y'all might be experiencing some things a lot sooner than we experienced it, because of technology, information is ahead of time. And also what we had growing up, we had, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, so we had Big Mama, you had Nana. So even if you didn't have dad in the house, you had Big Mama, you had Nana, and you also had Miss Remus, who was always watching all the kids in the neighborhood, who if you did something, she was pulling your coat. And you might even got in trouble by her, and then you got in trouble by your parents when they got home. You know, and I think that's a part that's kind of missing right now in this generation. It's not that Big Mama, Nana. You have it to some extent, but you don't have it as much. You know, and I was sharing with the kids today, the Bible says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. You know, and we live in a society now where it's telling us, you got a right to say what you feel. You know, and sometimes we miss the opportunity to listen, you know, and I can relate to that, because that was me with my step-pops who said, pull me to the side and have those conversations with me in the car, you know. But I thought what he was saying to me didn't have no relevance to what I was dealing with, because I was like, I got this, you know. So it says here, cultural shifts. How have changes in societal values and norms contributed to the gaps in communication and respect between older and younger generations?
I said it, they're not listening. And I give you an example. It's like, even out to the church don't understand that they can have so much more than you. Deliver different. For example, instead of pastors telling these younger children, like, oh, you need to stop listening to rap and stuff right away, teach them to stay prayed up, motivated in God, put God first, and eventually the rap music will do whatever. But it's like, when you can just try to throw them into the fire and think that they're going to be like, okay, very accepted.
And you're 100% correct. And this is something, and this is something that Dr. Williams preaches here all the time, that it's not about a religion, it's about relationship. And the more you get to know somebody or something, you your desires for other things began to change. It's not about a bunch of don'ts, you know, and that's what they make, that's what they make the world about. And it's not about a bunch of don'ts. And so what happens is you just don't want to no more. You get what I'm saying? So what you're saying is so true as far as weaning out. And the church has been guilty of that, you know, creating stereotypes and looking at people and putting them down because they haven't matured the way they think they should mature, you know. And I can say this for myself as a young man. My maturity didn't begin until I was 32 years old. You know, I had a relationship with God. I knew who God was, but I didn't know him. You know, and as I began to know him, the more things began to fall away from me. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of young people, and even with the church, have an issue with. Instead of allowing them to go through the process, they try to force the process on them. Anybody else want to talk about cultural shifts?
I do, but I don't want to put it. I'm trying to put it in proper words without sounding any like offensive. Nowadays, there's different genders, and it's not just man and woman; it's everything under the sun. And I think the older generation only see it as two genders, and all the younger generation, the younger generations, they're seeing it as many opportunities. And I think it's like still changing today. Like I can't even keep up with it myself. And I think it's very hard to get into that culture because it's just changing consistently, and it's very hard to. I can't really put it into words.
So basically what you're saying is that we haven't come along to accept some of the cultural changes.
Mm-hmm.
So let me say it with the word says. Romans 12:2 says, it teaches us not to conform to the patterns of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. This suggests that cultural changes should not override biblical values like love, respect, and honoring one another. You know, and I think that's the part that gets lost in translation. You know, and it goes both ways, even with the church trying to force that on people instead of loving it on people, honoring people, and respect, because we're not the judge. You know, when too often we become the judge, we see it in society right now. You know, where the government wants to be the dictator of your choice. And God has given us the opportunity to make the choices ourselves. And it's up to us to share God's truth, but it's up to you to decide which way you're going to go. You know, we see that in the garden. He said, this is what you shouldn't do, but they still had a choice to do it the way they want to do it. You know, and we got, everybody in here got children, right? So with our children, all we can do is give them the best advice, and it's up to them to make the decision, you know? And that's the same thing with us as adults, you know? And God has given us the word as a directive, but it's up to us to make the choice. And too often, the church, older generations, we try to force it on you, you know, and instead of allowing you to make that choice. And you say that sometimes we just give up and not. But how far can I go in giving you directions when you continue to make the choices that you want to make?
I think we think we got it all figured out. We think we got it all figured out. We understand everything. I think it's important to meet us where we at, like when we fall, to go above and beyond and meet us there, because we don't have nobody else to turn to and be looking for it. I think it's important for the older people to go above and beyond at that point. When we have our hand out, when we need help, because we all reach that point at some time. I that we need, but I think it's important to take the extra couple steps when our younger generation needs it.
And I want to piggyback on everybody that spoke, because it's like, on everything that y'all was talking about, the thing that hit me was to mention how the older people forget that, don't rather be like men, women, or whatever, like the difference is, you can be delivered. Yes. So there's so many stories in that Bible where God has delivered people that have been killers, thieves. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. So, your preference of which life doesn't really matter. Another thing I think the elders need to do is give us a chance. Like, y'all got to live your life, y'all got to make your mistakes. It seems to be like in this day and age, even when it comes to like just everyday life, it's like y'all don't want to give us a chance to learn for ourselves. It's like if you're not clicking how y'all want to be clicking. Oh, you ain't doing this. It's like,
you know, and I can relate to that, and I can understand where you're coming from, and that's why I thank God for Dr. Williams and people who I had in my life, because even when I was going through my transition of my life in those 13 years, that even when I went home, when I came home and I first moved down here and I met Dr. Williams for the first time, and me and him had an opportunity to share that I just came home from doing 13 years, blah, blah, blah. But he never asked me anything about what I did. He asked me about where I was going and what I wanted for my life. You know, and I think that's a part that's missing. And this is what we want to try to do to help bring about change. When we want to hear what you're saying. We want to be there and help bridge that gap, you know, like you said, meet you where you're at, you know, because everybody, I know for myself, I had a lot of anger issues because I didn't have that male role model in my life, you know, so I was kind of reluctant to hear any other male speak to me because you're not my father. You know, so I became resistant to what was being said. And I can relate to that with some young men and women out there who desire to have their own parents in their life. So they're not really trying to hear someone else speak. Because what they really want is their mother and father to be speaking into their lives. You know, and I think that's a part of it. Another question here says, technology goal. Do you think the rise in technology and social media has widened the communication gap between generations? If so, in what ways?
Nah, I don't necessarily think it widened it. My personal opinion, it actually brought it a little closer. Like, you can listen to people communicate with their grandmas through Facebook Messenger or Facebook and other families and other states now, even down to the elders. I mean, I got Facebook, she was 73, 74. You know what I mean? And still moving around and active. And that's how she communicated with other families that she grew up with, that's in other states. So I really think that it actually brought the older and the younger together in the sense of just communication.
Yeah, I would agree with that also. Also, you know, it did come to me, it's 50-50. We also got a chance to kind of go back to see how you guys grew up and see things, you know, like from parties to anything, or just how you feel like something I come across how high school was in the 90s. You know, they might have had a yearbook video or something. So I came across that, and that's how I learned. Yeah, like you said, it connected it in some way. I think it did kind of distance it in a sense because now sometimes people are like, man, all you do is be on that phone, be on your tablet. Like, there's so much more to go outside and do something. But in the same, you know, I think that's where we fail and that's where the disconnect starts to come because they like, man, for us, you know, we were going, we went and did something. Y'all just sit in the house. Ain't do nothing. It's a real life example.
Yeah, and that was the difference. Do you have anything you want to add? So, and that was the difference for us, you know, growing up. We didn't have social media. Our social media was our interaction with one another, you know. And what I found with social media, and I got a son, 24, and he can get in his closed space and stay there and not move, you know. And I believe this is what's happening to a lot of younger children. I'm not saying your generation, but younger kids, they get that tablet or that phone, and they're just tunnel vision, and they're lost, and they lose that social connection.
So, you know, but the truth that what I'm ready to say don't even have nothing to do with the elders. The problem is us, right?
Okay.
Our generation, that's about, I'm going to say about 36 and under that have children, right? It's like with me being 31, I try to make sure that all my children are active. Do I have moments where it's like tablets and TVs? Of course. Plus, even having a bad day, it's like, yo, I'm going to go watch your tablet. You know, we live every day for a life. But it's like, it really stuck with us too, because like, you see so many kids that don't even know what outside is like. Because people are keeping in the house, like, we go to the club every weekend, or we at a party all the time. So it's like, really, our generation got the tool to work with our children.
Yes. Yes. And I think that plays a major role. Because our kids miss the opportunity to really have social interaction, you know, with other kids. And we see it here at Harvest, you know, some of the kids come in, they don't know how to share, they don't know how to play with somebody else, and it's mine, this is mine, you know, because some of them, they all have their own tablets, or they got their own phones, so what's theirs is theirs, you know, and they don't get an opportunity to interact or share with their brothers. Let alone somebody else who's not in their family, you know. So when they get to a social setting, they don't know how to conduct themselves, and if they find it hard for them to have those relationships. So I get what you're saying as far as how technology has bridged the gap and has allowed us to speak to family members and associate with them who are distance away, you know, and bridge some of those gaps. However, if it's not if there's no standard set in place, like you said, there's a place and a time for it, definitely as a young generation. You know, if you don't set those things, those boundaries in place, it can get lost. You know, you can move to an argument. We got a question. You want a statement?
Hey, how y'all doing? So raise the mic. Oh, okay. So the question that I really would have is, for the older generation, does fear come? When I say fear, I mean the fear of change. Because I know for an older generation, you know, I dealt with this when I was younger, when they took time to implement change into no matter where it was at, then that's where the disconnect always lied at. So that's the question that I have. Where, like, how would you combat the fear from an older generation's perspective?
And, you know, I can relate to that because even for myself, that change, that transition from where I was and how I used to live compared to the way I'm living now was a change. And sometimes when you don't know what type of change is coming in place, it can be fearful. You know, it can be fearful for younger generations and older generations because some young generations, they don't want to change. Even if they know some of the steps that they're taking is not the right way, but they don't know what's on the other side. You know, they know what they're doing is wrong, but to go the right way is kind of tough. Now, as far as the older generations being to accept change, is that what you're saying? Accept change as far as the way society is now. And now, when you say accept change, is that being okay with something that's not right?
So, no, not being okay with something that's not right, but more so being okay with an evolved situation. Mm-hmm. So, meaning that, okay, you know what? We used to go outside back in our day.
Now the kids don't as much. There's a disconnect there. However, looking at it from a different perspective, okay, you know what? They don't go outside as much. They play a game and do this. But if we look at where they are upstairs in their mind, they're a little bit more advanced than we are because they're able to do things, technology, that we can't. And with that, with the way the world is going, the society is moving, it's going into a technical world. So they're going to be able to adapt better than we can. So it's not really saying, okay, you know what, I'm okay with the faults, but instead I'm okay with the evolution that's coming.
Yes. And you're 100% correct. That is definitely a positive aspect. However, there's some parts of it when we talk about the social dynamic of it. You know, how to interact with other people. Like I said, it's okay if there's boundaries.
Right.
But if you place it, if you allow them to have it and don't set boundaries, don't allow them to have that communication with other people. Okay, it's okay to have this time with the social media or learning the technology, but you also need to be able to know how to interact, you know,
mm-hmm.
also know how to share, also know how to communicate, you know, because you can get into that bubble where now you don't even know how to function in the world. And I say that because we're seeing it in the school and we're seeing it with the younger generation. And that's the future. You know, your generation and probably a little younger than you, they don't have it the way this new generation is having. They're growing up with knowing how to function this before they even know how to open up a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's where the issue is at. And if we don't begin to curb it, you know, or set boundaries, we can lose that sense of communication. Let me share what the Word says about technology in its role. And it says, while the Bible doesn't address technology directly, Proverbs 18:21 reminds us that the tongue has the power of life and death. And this could apply to all forms of communication, emphasizing that words, whether spoken or digital, should be used to build up, not divide. And what we're having in society is, through technology, is creating a division. You know, with algorithms and stuff like that, whatever you feed into your technology, it's going to feed back to you. So if you have a one-track mind, that's what you're going to continue to get. And we're seeing that in society right now. And that's where the division comes in. You know?
To answer this question, too, about the fear. I'm sitting here thinking also, listen. But I would personally say it is a fear. They have a fear, man. They have a fear, but you figure the world made it that way. Like, and also speaking about children and technology, like, I have a COVID baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my daughter is married. She'll be 4 October 10. So, like, she's active. When it comes to technology, don't be like a cooking in the microwave. Like, these kids are different. These kids are different, see, active. And when it comes to the elders, I'm going to also say, like, you got to understand, with COVID hit the world, back in the day when we was running around, Ms. Mabel enough to tell us to go home and all that and say whatever they wanted to say to us. Now these elders come out their front door, and they got to watch 4 young men with masks on. All you see is their eyes walking past the street or might even be sitting on their step. So now they're going to go to a store and shop. But they scared to get out and say something. And they got to wait to come back home until they step clear. You know what I mean? I see it every day. So it's like, to answer your question about the fear, yeah, it's fear there for the elders. Man, they don't know how to handle this right now.
One more thing that I'm saying. Because you brought up the Word. So Proverbs 3:5-7, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, not to your own understanding, and all thy ways not acknowledge me. So the reason I also kind of brought up fear is because as believers, who are we putting our trust in? Are we putting our trust in the world? Because you're talking about worldly things. Or are we putting our trust in God? And for me, I'm not a parent. You know, me and my wife, we lost, unfortunately, our, you know, angel baby. But in that, I have a niece. She's also a COVID baby. But one of the things I've seen my parents do, I've seen my older sister do, and my grandparents was, they never had trust when raising their kids in the world. I mean, they had senses, but they
they knew who they trust. They knew who their child belonged to. So in that case, they knew, you know what? I may not understand what's going on in the world, but I'm not fearful of it because I know where my trust and my help comes from. The word says, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil. So I'm not really worried about what's going on out there. I'm worried about what my Lord and Savior says. So that's kind of the perspective I'm coming from. So more like a loop into a perspective change.
And you know, that's important what you say. And I guarantee your parents set boundaries. Your grandparents set boundaries. And that's the part that's important. And I think that's missing, you know, because like you said, where do my help come from? Who are you trusting? Are you trusting what the world is putting out? Or are you controlling what you're allowing to come into your household? You know, so it touches on the next question, parenting style. How have the shift in parenting style over the years affected the dynamics of respect and communication between parents and their children?
I have something I want to say about that.
Okay.
I'd like to speak on that before you even ask the question about parenting. And I travel with it myself. But more importantly, growing up, I had trouble with it with my parents. And more so, parents don't want to be parents anymore. They want to be friends. And they want you to be comfortable with them and they want to understand you so much when really we don't even know what we're trying to understand. We need them to, like you said, boundaries, set it, set in stone and not try to be okay with everything and so understanding because we need to be put on the path because we're lost. You know what I mean? We lost in a way. With the world out there and so much we see when we not with mom and dad. And, as soon as we step out the house, so much we see and so much we hear is like, as much as you want to be our friend and not hurt our feelings, and I'm like the same thing with my kids. I'm like, I'm always being told, really, nobody else is going to put them in their place, how I'm going to put them in their place. So to protect them and want the best for them, they're on the same way. And I got in so much trouble growing up. I wish my mom, my dad wasn't around, my dad was liking me, but I wish my mom, I don't know what's hard for her, but I wish she would have put me in my place more than I wouldn't have had the world put me in my place. And now I was a couple years back, a lot of things I could have been years ahead if my mom was trying to be a mom instead of being my friend.
Yes, yes. Anybody else want to share?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And I look at it like, maybe I've seen it being raised the way I was. It's a line between adult and child. Point blank, period. So, I'm not here. I look. My dad was a person where he was going to tell you straightforward. He was going to give you the guide to life. I mean, they surely put that in me. He put that in me, but it was also like, yo, I'm not here to be pleased with. I'm not going to be your friend. I can't be your friend. But in the midst of me doing that, this is my responsibility. I owe you that because I put you in the world. You didn't ask me for anything at this point. But you told me at a young age, like, look, it's just, it is what it is. Like, I can't return the thumb. But
I'm going to
jump
on that. And I'm not going to back it off. It's very important because we went to school together. Yes, and you know how much trouble I used to get. You know, bro. I used to get so much trouble, honestly. And when I graduated, I got way more trouble than I did outside of school than I did in school. But it's so important. It's so important to say, look how I was raised. Look how my mom was my friend. Let me get away everything. And look at your dad was on you. And then you might feel like, man, you're so mean, so on me.
Yeah.
You ain't, I guarantee you ain't graduated. I just want to get into as much trouble as I got. You know what I mean? And it shows how important it is.
Those boundaries.
He only wanted the best for you. Not saying my mom didn't love me or wanted the best for me, but it's just ways to go about it.
And then also to add on to like you said, when it comes to being a friend and all, it's like, oh my God, I'm a bad day for me. Like you said, they're trying to be friends and do all that. Okay, that's what I'm called. Everybody, parents now, I didn't have this my child, whatever. That's cool. I really agree with that. Yes, give it to him, but there's a way. My dad made sure he, look, My cousin's friend say that he had cancer. When I heard it. My dad was never, he was going to give me everything, but he was like, anytime I asked, you don't take a drink, you don't do your chores, you don't live. Oh, then you just get suspended. Oh, you got sent home to out of class? You went to detention? Oh, you didn't get money. And it wasn't until I showed what it needed to be and what it was that then he began to receive the way more.
And I think, and you said something important, and I'm going to get to you. You said something important as far as the boundaries are concerned, you know, because we have parents nowadays trying to be more of a friend instead of a parent, a guide and director, you know, and I grew up, I'm a 70s baby, you know, I grew up in the 70s and it wasn't just our parents, it was a community who raised us, you know, and everybody knew who you were. You know, and it was no question, if you didn't, you had to go outside your neighborhood to do what you wanted to do. But in your neighborhood, everybody knew who you were. And those boundaries were set, and you knew what line you could cross and what line you couldn't cross. And I think that's something that's missing so much in today with parenting. Like you said, they're trying to be so much of a friend than being a parent. And one thing I realized during the 80s and 90s, we had these generations went through some cycles. We had the crack epidemic, we had the cocaine epidemic, then we had the crack epidemic, and then we had the heroin epidemic, and then we had the opioid epidemic. So we talk about four generations.
Four generations
of different things happening. So there was what happened was, and definitely if you grew up in a household where that was in your household where crack or cocaine or dope was, and it was your parents. So now you were raising yourself, and you lost respect for the person who brought you in this world because you seen how they were conducting themselves, and now you felt ashamed of the person who brought you in this world.
I got funny for y'all, right? Because really, the way to show respect also for me, and I was born in 93, and I was still raised on a yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir. Like that just showed you as a kid, like it was a big respect difference. Like if the elder was talking to you, even if you had something to drink, they say, what flavor you want? Great, yes ma'am. Now, like, don't be burned. I say no burglary, yes. You know, so it's just like, I feel like we got away from that too, because you don't even hear that anymore. Like, I don't even know if these kids know how to say ma'am or sir, unless they see it on the TikTok or something.
You know, and it is so true. And that's why I thank God for Harvest, because we have an opportunity and we pride ourselves in trying to be examples for the kids that's growing up, because we don't know what these kids are going home to, you know, and it's best for us to try to be the best example for them while we have the opportunity to pour into them, you know, and guarantee all our parents, regardless of what faults they might have had, they always desired for our best interests. They wanted us to have more than what they had, you know, and that's the same thing. All your parents here, and all you desire is for more for your children. However, what we're learning is how to do it differently, you know, to create those boundaries so they can be successful in life. And that's why we have this conversation, because I was one of those kids who dealt with single mom, dad not in your life, and just so much trauma. You know, where I had to deal with anger issues and all types of things, and I didn't have nobody to give me guidance. You know, like I said, my mom always talked about God. She read scripture to us, but we have to know that for ourselves. We have to know it for ourselves, and that's why having those boundaries and setting the standards for your children within the household is so important. And before we get to question, it says here in Proverbs 22:6 about parenting style. It says, encourages parents to train up a child in the way it should go, stressing consistent teaching and guidance. Respect and communication should be grounded in biblical instruction and discipleship from one generation to the next. We got a question.
Not necessarily a question, but a statement. So I related to everything that you were saying regarding anger issues. Because growing up, that's something that I have dealt with because I grew up in a domestic household. So my father used to beat on my mother. So for me, that took onto how I should treat women because that's how I thought a woman should be taught. However, it wasn't until I was 17, I moved out here, and I had men in my life that wasn't my father that taught me and guided me through the word, but they also had me dealing with roots. So one of the roots was, for my anger, was that's a trait I took from my father. Because I thought that justified me being a man, which I had to learn that that's not true. And when I came to Christ at a young age and God was really dealing with me, God had me dealing with my roots. So saying all that to say, forgiveness as a child is really key and really important. Because if you don't have forgiveness and you hold on to that resentment, what you're doing is you're damaging yourself for your future. So what are you doing? You're blocking your blessings. You're blocking what God has intended for you because your mind itself is not renewed because you're still holding on to that unforgiveness. But if you forgive, you're not forgiven, but the person. You're forgiven so yourself can be set free from the bondage that you yourself put yourself in.
And I just want to comment on, I like the fact that you use the word root. But the church that I attend, Grace, right now, Bible study, we're going over strongholds. And, you know, just from hearing what you were saying, that was a stronghold. That you know, and you know, we personally just recently gave my life to God this past year, right? It's like, you know, I was able to identify a few strongholds that really did have a hold on me that came from my father. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, once you address them like you did, you get a whole different life.
Because you also break in a generational curse that was attached from your father's father to your father's father, but you're letting the enemy know it stops at you. So now that you have a kid, your child won't be able to experience that because it ended with you. So now you're bringing God into your household, but also into your child.
That's right.
Yes. And I think that's so important. Before we go on, I want to let Ms. Erica share our point of view for parents. And
I
I'm
said,
sorry,
never mind.
We're not ignoring you.
And I didn't think I wanted to talk. I feel like mine is not that, like, I don't think it's a theory.
So what do you think as far as parenting? Because you're a mother, you know, and your goal is to raise your child, your son, to the best of your ability. What do you think about that as far as the generation gap and issues?
Well, I was going to talk about a mother's point of view. I feel like it's a very, like, it's very hard to raise your child when you have an older generation chewing in your ear nonstop of how to raise your child. Because they learned a certain way and they expect you to learn the way that they taught their kids. So they kind of like push you to the side and be like, well, you need to be doing this. You need to be doing this. Well, you need to be doing this. And it's like, I can't catch a break because now you're telling me that I'm doing I'm raising my child completely wrong. But how you grew up may have been the wrong way. But I need to learn how to raise my child on my own. It's my child, not your child. You didn't give birth to this baby, I did.
And I totally agree with as far as that being your child. However, we have to be open. You know what I spoke about earlier as far as quick to listen and slow to speak. You know, sometimes we have to hear because all we know is not all there is to know. You know, and that's a part of it. Because like you said, some of the ways they might have been raised may have been wrong, you know. But just because the way you're doing it don't make it right. You know, and so we have to have that open communication and be willing to hear each other's point of view. You know, and what I would say to you is, look at, does that person have your best interest and their child's best interest at heart? You know, are they saying stuff in malice, or are they saying stuff because they want to help you? And that's where you can distinguish what's right and what's good, you know. And we as parents, do we do everything right? We can have the best intentions for our children, and we may, or even our partners or whoever, but we may do it the wrong way. You know, and that's a part of life, and that's where that forgiveness comes in at, because you only can teach what you know. You know, you only can teach what you know, and I think that's where we find that struggle, we find those hiccups, because too often we cut it off. You know, we cut it off, and like you said, this is my child, I'm gonna raise it the way I want to raise it. So once we get defensive, everything else we don't hear. You know, and I can relate to that.
But
yeah,
I mean, I feel it though. I feel it. Like, this is my child, and like, you just made the best statement ever. You only can teach what you know. So I get it. The elders be trying to drop wisdom on us about our children and how to raise our children. But at what point are you going to let me learn? Like, that's the, at what point are you going to allow me to learn? You know, so that's where the girl should come from. And I've been in that situation. Like, even my mom, we have little girls. My mom always has something to say. We have little girls, little girls. In the most respectful way, I inform my mom, like, mom, I got it. Like, let me do the dad thing, give me a chance. And, you know, as my children got older and older, my mom started like, okay, you got it. You got it. It's like, you got to give me a chance to learn as my own self being a parent. You brought me up, you had the experience. Let me get wisdom from you, but also let me go through my trials and tribulations of a parent that I need to go through to learn.
And you know, as a parent, we all can understand that, because you all have children, and no one wants to see their children go through pitfalls. You know, and as a parent, all they want to do is try to protect you. You know, and sometimes some protection is overbearing. You know, but like I said, what the intention is the key. You know, is the intention to love, or is it to hinder you?
And I would want to, or I want to bring that up, but it's going to circle back to how you just said, back to when you, I forget what it was exactly, but you said us protected. That also comes into play with somehow today's generation raising their kids. They're not giving them a chance to learn. They're protecting them from everything that, and they can't even block it, because only when you learn is going through it. So a lot of parents today, I got to take them. And we're going to get through this, but when they got to walk through that door on their own,
they don't know how to
do it. They don't know how to do it, or they need for me to get mom and you to get dad
to help me out.
And in a sense, I kind of dealt with that, even though dad helped me. I had help from sisters and brothers. But I had to fight and figure out what to do. So my dad used to tell me, I'm not going to be here to hold your hand for the whole thing. Go out and do it yourself. I still need it. Even though he showed me everything and done everything and let me do it and figure things out, I still somehow had that little. Yeah,
you know, and
I need an extra push.
Yes, and that goes back to something, and we're about to end this session here today. You know, and that's good. I like that excitement, because I want us to continue with this cycle. I want it to continue next week and maybe even the week after next. So I invite everybody here to be a part of it, and we close here with everybody giving a statement or just a picture in my out there. But just to tap into what you said, that goes back to what you mean, saying, as far as just being there, having someone to encourage you, to push you, to remind you of who you are, you know, and that's what's important. And that's what we're here to talk about right here. How can we be that difference maker in the generation that's behind us? Because an old church, and we are the church, the people, is a dying church. And if we don't rear up our children, these next generations behind us, where do you think things are going to be? You know, and this is how we don't have to make the change. We have to be that example of that change for them to see. So with that, Brother James, do you want to lead the audience with a statement or a comment?
Okay, thank you.
I'll give you a thank you. I'm back. I want to leave with this. I want to say to the younger generation and the older generation, but most importantly, the house of God, I think consistency is important because everybody, I'm sure, at different stages, just because of their age or what you've been through or what you think they're going through, that don't mean you know what they're going through when they get home. So I think consistency is key because as many, 100 times you might say we don't need you, or 200 times you might be hard headed. That one time we might need you, and it can make a big difference in your life forever. Because I can tell you right now, from a personal experience, I had so many people wash their hands with me. I just ain't know. If you only know what you know, and I didn't know better. So until I matured and got to that point, I had so many people wash their hands with me. But I want to speak for you, about you. Have some problems there. A very important time in my life, and I never took my medication. I always come to you for advice and everything, but it was important. However many people watch their hand to me, you were there when I needed you the most. You literally changed my life. I was looking at life different, everything different. But it goes to show important and not giving up on somebody. Because now I'm willing to change life in the next generation, and that's how it started. If you would have watched your hand to me, who knows where I've been? Or I'd have been getting advice from the wrong person. So it's important to be consistent.
Amen.
My closing statement is this. I want to give a round of applause and kudos to this young fellow right here. I watched this young fellow grow up. Watched him grow up. And to be sitting next to him, hearing how he's a father, which means that he provided and taking care of his children, and he's going to pass them off. You've got me. I ain't got a question. His faith in God. You can hear what he's talking. So, you know, I just want my closing statement to be a round of applause.
For me, it's just to be more open-minded or acceptance of change, because the world is not going to stop changing, and we have to be more open to everything that comes our way. Yes, we should be more open to a lot of things that come our way, because you never know where that can lead you. If that makes sense. It's cheesy, but there you go.
I would like to say, pretty much what you're saying there is just for both generations to just listen to the older. Everything and everybody, or you know, help in some way that you can, and don't just throw away the towel or throw the towel on anybody. You know, some people may need that extra push, like I always need it in some cases. But like he also said, I do want to say some kudos and give Jermaine like his props, because you know, like not knowing, I've never said it to him, but the way I watched how he was raising his kids, it really like, I see for seeing it, that was he was actually the first person I actually seen from my age really become a dad, to see how he did and how he watched, or how he just pushed, especially with his daughter. I was like, yo, it's not even, I can say, from my point of view of watching him. He done to me, I know we do everything right, but he's done everything right to be a dad. No matter what you think.
Amen. You know,
I really love you, bro. I just want to say we matter. And I said this the other day, man. Like, I want the fathers to really acknowledge and understand that we bring a different love that mom brings. It's a completely different love. Like, and as a father, we bring a nurturing background also. We bring a loving background also. So it's like, it's just different. I just want more dads to understand, like,
Listen, I want to give kudos to all the men, and as I said, I'm giving kudos and continue to give kudos to the ladies who've been holding it down. They've been I invite you men and women, young and old, to come be a part of what we're doing here. We need to have this type of dialogue. If you hear the voices up here, they want you to hear them and for them to hear you. So please come share. I see you online, but please come be a part of this here because we need you guys to come together so we can begin to bridge the gap and make changes, not for just this generation, but for the generations to come. And with that, we're going to close. We say we love you. Please tune in next week. Be a part of what we're doing. Come be a part of the live audience and even the online audience. God bless you. We love you. Remember, the word is free, but ministry costs. So if God places your heart to sow a seed, please sow a seed. God bless you. On behalf of Dr. Williams, First Lady, and the Harvest family, we love you. Have a good night.
Good night.
I know this part.
Got it?
I think so. His kid, his son, Jermaine's son, whoever's watching him. Yeah. You know I was about to chew him up and spit him out. That's why, is this all? She was sitting there, she was telling him that he couldn't go over there and play.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm going with him. Like, what? My kids are, my car is at the house.
Oh, I forgot.
Small world.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know if you'll be able to come out next week, man, but I would love for
you. Saying you want to win it back, you want to sit down here. I said, you come
out. Oh, it's okay. You can ask questions and you can share, you know. But my goal is to try to bring as many young people because that's the future.
And this is the ministry.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, this is the ministry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep.
That's why you're coming to see over in the kitchen. Here you have to move them.
You can open it wider. You can make it. And you can move it. You see him? Where you was at?
I'm sitting at the desk.
And you ain't see it?
No, but he doesn't hit his head. He's laying on the floor. But I see him like after the fact. But then he stopped.
Did you see him fall? Was he crying?